Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter, and I'm so glad you're here today. And welcome to our first 2022 guest episode. And if you listened to the last episode, you heard this new format that we're testing out of bringing together the top five Clifton strengths of our guest with their level of expertise, their success story, whatever it is that they're sharing. And I'm excited to have today's guest on because he's kind of a ringer to kick this off. Not going to lie. This was totally planned out. And Jim Collison is our guest, and he is actually the Clifton Strengths Community Manager at Gallup's Omaha, Nebraska office. He helps manage all the coaches like myself. There's over 11,000 Gallup certified coaches globally that he's in charge of. Talk about a big management assignment, right? Jim also produces Gallup's webcasts and podcasts found at gallup.com/CliftonStrengths. You can find them on iTunes. I love the Call to Coach and the Theme Thursdays. But today we're talking to Jim about him and about how he got to where he is and how his top five strengths have helped him get there. Now, obviously, he's very knowledgeable about his strengths, but we have a great conversation ahead for you to listen to. And you're going to hear how his talents show up, not just in his career, but also in his relationships at home and in his hobbies. So it's a really fun episode. Sit back, relax. Probably not, you don't need to take a lot of notes on this episode, but you might want to grab a pen and paper for the last couple of minutes when Jim definitely drops some words of wisdom that you definitely want to go in and, you know, really, really hear what he has to say. So enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think of it and the new format. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed. And as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome to the show, Jim. I'm so excited to have you on the Navigating Your Leadership podcast and to be our first guest of 2022 and this new format that we're taking on.
Well, thanks for having me, Sherry. I'll consider that an honor.
Yes, I hope you will. And I know we've been talking pre-hitting the record button. I think this should be fun and fairly easy podcast for us to do when it comes to the strengths piece of it, because you obviously know way more than even I do about strengths. So I'm excited to see how it all kind of weaves together. And I appreciate you for being the first to try this with me.
Well, I might know more just because I spend all my days talking about it. Like it's my job, right? I hope I would, but that there is something in that, that, you know, there's a mastery to it. A lot of folks ask me, how do you know these things so well? Well, I spend a lot of time thinking or studying or talking about it. And it's just a time mastery concept. And so after a while, yeah, you get pretty good. I've done 3,000 or so, maybe more podcasts. You get kind of good at it after you've done it for a while. And I think that's a statement of arrogance, but a statement of confidence, mm-hmm. right? I think that practice in the things that we do, I think that practice matters.
Right. That 10,000, was it 10,000 hours 10, theory?
Hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I'll be honest, a little bit of my own desire for this new format of sharing the strengths in the talents and how they show up in exceptional leaders and managers is I'm excited of increasing my mastery of just every time I talk to somebody about strengths and about their talents, that increases my knowledge of them and my expertise on how they do show up in real people's lives. I think that'll be a fun added piece for me. So So, Jim, your top five are arranger, woo, maximizer, communication, and activator. And for the listeners, I'm just going to read the quick Gallup description of each of those. And then what I hope is that as we get into our conversation, that not only you and I will start talking about how the talents or themes show up in your life and which ones are truly, you know, you see as a strength every day, but also the listeners to kind of play strength detective and see if you can, based on the description you hear, that brief knowledge that you'll learn today, pick up on the little clues as Jim shares his knowledge and story. So I'm just going to go in alphabetical order here, because that's the other piece too, that a lot of people get hung up on, is that they think because it's numbered our top five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that number one's the most important. Number two is, you know, the next. And it really doesn't, they all blend together. And sometimes number five's used more than number one and so on, or sometimes number 10's used more than number one, but we're just going to focus on those top five today. So activator is your, it is your number five, but they are the catalyst who get things started and they turn ideas into action. People exceptionally talented in the activator theme can make things happen by turning thoughts into action. They want to do things now rather than simply talk about them. They're willing to take risks and they're at their best when taking advantage of opportunities others miss. And I'm going to come back to that one when I'm done reading the descriptions, because your activator definitely showed up this week for me. So, and then we have arranger, your number one. They are the conductors. I love that image of arrangers as being a conducting, you know, conducting an orchestra. They have that natural ability to orchestrate people and resources for maximum effectiveness. People exceptionally talented in the arranger theme can organize, but they also have flexibility that complements this ability. They like to determine how all the pieces and resources can be arranged for maximum productivity. And then we have communication, and they love to host, present, write, explain. People exceptionally talented in the communication theme generally find it is easy to put their thoughts into words. They are good conversationalists and presenters. They connect through words and at their best, illustrating life through story and work. And then we're going to go to maximizer. They see talents and strengths in others. People exceptionally talented in the maximizer theme focus on strengths as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. They seek to transform something strong into something superb. And at their best, they're pushing for excellence in all they do. And then woo is the fun one here, this winning others over. And people exceptionally talented in the woo theme love the challenge of meeting new people and winning them over. They derive satisfaction from breaking the ice and making a connection with someone, and also connecting others with each other, one another. So now that people know your top five, Jim, I would love to have you share a little bit about who you are and what you do today, and weave in whatever you want there with your top five, how you've seen them play out and getting you to where you are today.
You know, my primary role today is a strengths community manager, Clifton Strengths Community Manager for Gallup. And, you know, it's my role to kind of wrangle the 11,000 plus certified coaches around the world, kind of keep them on the rails. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of information out there, a lot of learning, a lot of training, a lot of education, a lot of know-how to get our systems. And I mean, it's just a huge knowledge base of information around strengths. And so it's kind of my job to keep that all rolling, but it hasn't always been that way. Like when I started doing this job 10 years ago, I was a very, very part-time role. It was just something, it was kind of a passion project I kind of jumped into, and I've kind of grown into it. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. The way that fits perfectly though, for me today, the way, you know, I always joke with people, it took me 50 years to find my career, because it did. Like I think I'm now just in the sweet spot of it, where I get this chance to use this arranger, this orchestrator, to take all this knowledge, all this information, all this learning, all these things happening, all these people, in all these different time zones, all these different languages. You know, we do webcasts now in 6 other languages. And so, and I help produce all of those. So this, all these things happening at the same time, I appreciate what you'd said in the opening about all these strengths kind of blend together. That arranger plays well with individualization, developer, and adaptability, which I have farther down, you know, in 6 through 10. In being able to really respond and react to whatever's happening in the day. I always tell people I'm a firefighter, not a farmer. Like I don't want to do the same thing every day. I don't want to wake up and, although I watch some farmers on YouTube and they have some pretty crazy days too. So it's not like farming is boring, but I love the high adrenaline, high energy. Every day is different. Of course, I get to use wound communication in the job that I do. With that, the maximizer plays in with a little bit of it for me. Sometimes we talk about maximizer in a quality standpoint. I think it's more quantity for me. I like to do more of everything. How do I do it faster than I did yesterday? How do I do more than I did yesterday? And of course, you talked about activator, and I'll kind of close this segment on that. Yeah, I just don't ever wait. So when something needs to be done, well, let's just do it now. Why would we wait? Like, the time is now. Let's strike while the iron is hot. And so even I think we're doing this interview because there's a little bit of activator in there.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Just for the backstory, I reached out to Jim. He was on my list of who would I love to have on my podcast. And he was on the list. And I reached out to him Monday.
I think it was because that's the first work day. Yeah, we were back Monday the 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And sent him a LinkedIn message. And I've heard you talk about that you do this. And it was fun to see it in action because I immediately got a message back to him saying, can we talk or can we hop on a Zoom? Or I don't remember how it was worded. But that was like pure activator in action.
I just really prefer in what I'm doing. Let's take care of it right now. Well, let's strike while the iron's hot. Mm-hmm. So I do that. I mentioned that and you saw it in action. Like, can we talk right now? Is that possible to do? So,
And then we booked the actual recording within 24 hours of that, you know, 24, 48 hours of that conversation. And I have activator in my top 10. So I so appreciated that approach of why delay when we can do it now.
Yeah. Well, I think you try to be nice and say, well, I'd like to do it as soon as we can. But and I was like, who do you think you're talking to? Of course, we're going to do it right away. Let's just get this thing done. So it has its advantages. It has its disadvantages sometimes too, in the sense that it doesn't play well. There are times where things need to mature a little bit longer. More water needs to go into the bridge. But I have found as I put myself in situations where I get a chance to be a firefighter on a more regular basis, it sets me up for success better. I'm not in a job where I have to wait. Like, I'm in a job where activating quickly is almost always a benefit. And so that has been a key to that, right? Is that I'm not trying to be in a role where that's a disadvantage to me. It's more of an advantage. And so I definitely take advantage of it more. Didn't always do that with people, but I kind of learned in the last year or two, maybe during the pandemic, that was a very beneficial thing to do. And I had more success the more I did it. So why not respond quickly?
And actually, if you could just expand a little bit, I mean, it seems pretty basic, but maybe expand a little bit more on exactly what it is that you are doing for somebody listening that maybe they have activator or they maybe activator's in their top 10, maybe it's a little lower, but they want to push that little piece because I think it's such a great nugget of just that reach, the way you just respond when somebody reaches out to you is so valuable to people. I think it really is a time saver.
Yeah, it actually started with a little bit of feedback from someone who sent me an email and said, your woo is different. And this is, we'll get back to activator in a second, but the feedback was your woo is a little bit different in person than it is in email. And it kind of got me thinking like, oh, that's interesting. Why is that the case? Well, such high communication. And then again, I have a relator and, you know, I've got that relator woo individualization developer where I really like the one-on-one with people. Like I am much better talking about it than I am writing. I hate writing. I'm just a terrible writer. And I just like talking about it. I love seeing faces. I read body language. And so I can even go back. I mean, where it really locked in was this last summer's Clifton Strength Summit. Thousands of people from all around the world attended this 2-day event. And I opened my calendar for people. Like if they wanted to book 15 minutes with me, I just opened my calendar. And I got 30 or 35 people to take advantage of that. And during those sessions, like I started to realize I kind of like this. Like, this is kind of fun to just 15 minutes, boom, boom, boom. But they were all video. They were like, I got to see people. And it wasn't a woo exercise. It was more relator for me. And I started thinking, wow, I should do this. Like, well, what's working here? Well, certainly the activator was playing in and being able to do things very, very quickly. And I walked away from that experience just saying, you know what? I'm going to start handling problems, questions, whatever in the moment. And we're not going to do it via email. I lose when I send emails because emails have an inherent problems, right? They're inherently negative. People just always take them that way. You have to try 3 or 4 times harder, at least in my opinion, to get your point across. I don't think they're as personable. I just don't think they're as fun, you know? And so I just changed. I said, from this point on, if I have a problem, I'm going to say, can we call? Can we talk? Like, can we do it right now? And it's worked. It's worked really, really well for me. So that's for me. That's not for everybody, but kind of based on who I am and the job I have, that's working really, really well.
I love it. And you're right, because email, even if you wrote a great email, the way you wrote it or a texting may not be read the same way you wrote it.
Yeah, I'm a control freak and I don't have any control over the way someone reads an email.
No.
So I'd rather talk to them. And mm-hmm. And I know when I'm having a conversation, I think leaders need to have high self-awareness around this. When they're talking to someone and when I know the conversation is getting away from me, I have to stop and pull it back in. As a leader, we can't be communicating and not hitting the point almost every single time. Like we've got to know we're hitting it. And you know you're hitting it by the feedback that you get and the body language, at least for me, the body language that exists there. And so I just don't get enough time. I don't have enough time to correct those communication problems. So I need to make sure I'm doing it right in that time. And that's just a system that works best for me.
Mm-hmm. And I would think too, just thinking arrange or maximizer, like really you're maximizing your calendar because you don't have to put it on a calendar.
Yeah, it's done. It's done. You know, I had somebody say to me, you know, I've been gone 5 days and I had 175 emails I came back to. I was like, that's like an afternoon. Like, okay. Well, you know, I didn't say that because kind of mean, right? But I, you know, I need to roll through these. If I think mm-hmm. about all the ways I communicate through the Facebook groups or through LinkedIn or through email or through whatever, right? I get hundreds of bits of contacts every single day. And so there's the only way I can survive and do it well is to be very, very responsive to it.
Right. So I think that's something for anybody listening. Like it's something worth trying. It may or may not work for you, but it might be, or maybe just occasionally try it out and just respond in the moment, get it done. It's off your list. It doesn't have to go on the calendar. Like it's really, to me, it's a freeing thought. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a try. We'll see.
Well, it's those moments of success. It was that moment after the summit where I went, you know, this works really, really well for me. Mm-hmm. Like I had that moment. I don't know why it took me 53 years to get to that moment, but it did. It was one of those like, you know, I had to do this more. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I was an effective communicator through the webcast, which is a woo exercise, right? Our webcast, our podcast that we do, that's all woo all the time. Communication woo, big numbers, blasting it out, lots of people. I thought that was effective. But now that I've been doing these one-on-one, way more impact. I'm not saying these don't have any impact. They have plenty of impact. But the one-on-one communication for me, way more effective. And so being self-aware to the point where I realized, oh, that's success. Okay, how do I exploit that now? How do I use that to my benefit? And how can I blend it in with what I do to be more successful?
Right. I love it. I love that. Just that little nugget of a thought that turned into a way of working. And stayed in that.
Yeah. Well, we all have those moments, right? I mean, I think we just have to have our eyes open oftentimes to be like, when I meet with college students and we talk about Clifton Strengths, I always say, think about, let's go back to a time where you felt you were the most successful. And then let's start pulling that piece apart. Now, having the Clifton Strengths framework at that point in time to superimpose on that moment can accelerate that. In other words, you know, I can do that with them. If they don't know their strengths, I could still do that exercise and we could kind of pull out some things that might be beneficial, right? But when we know strengths, this is why I think it's so important for leaders to have the strengths of those that they lead, right? Because we can accelerate the influence, the relationship, the learning that we do in that with that person if we have this strengths-based framework there. And it just goes so much faster. So then we can start pulling these things. Oh, that's your, you know, as you were listening, I just did that exercise. My, you know, individualization and relator and developer gets pulled out of that. Well, now I don't have to explain those to you. You know what I'm talking about because you understand the framework. So in an organization or in a team, when they know these things, it's just a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that image too, that you had of kind of overlaying that onto, and that's really what I hope to do by this new format of the podcast, even is seeing where people are already being successful. They're already using their strengths. They just don't may or may not know that. And then we overlay, oh yeah, these are your strengths. This is where that's shining. This is why that worked for you. This is why you love doing that. This is, you know, all those things. So I love that image.
One of the hosts on my tech show, we don't even talk about strengths that much on that show. It's designed to be talked about technology. But the other day we were doing a post show. It was just he and I, we were talking and something came up and he had taken Clifton Strengths like 5 years ago. And he said, yeah, you know, I was wondering about this and it opened the door to a conversation. I talk with him every single week, but him having those strengths, me being able to talk about them. And then in the moment of he was ready to talk about it, I think that's another component of this. He came to me, hey, tell me about like, and we had this long 25 minute conversation about it. I don't beat people over that. I think some people think because I'm the Clifton Strengths community manager, everybody that I meet, I beat over the head with strengths, right? I don't. And so with him, we just spent some time talking about it. He was ready. He had an openness at that point. And so we could have this, we had this really great conversation that I got done. I was like, man, we ought to do this more often, you know? And so sometimes you just have to wait for the door to open too.
I actually just had that experience. I had a physical therapy appointment today and it was so many different elements that aligned. It was, I would say it was a God wink type moment, but it was actually, he will be, it's the owner of the physical therapy office where I go. I've never met him before. And he happened to be filling in for my normal therapist for my knee. And anyway, roundabout conversation, we got to the point of talking about strengths and it opened up this whole great, they use it in their office. And it was just so fun. We, you know, it totally turned the whole, the rest of the appointment around. We kept talking about it, but it was so fun for me once he told me his top five to watch them in action. And it was like, oh, I see why you love what you do and why you run such a great business because everybody there seems to love what they do and they're all working in their strengths. It's so fun when you see that and that door opens up and you can have that conversation because it is like a different language right. with that. So when were you first introduced to strengths?
So about 17, 18 years ago. So strengths is really kind of brand new. And, you know, I live in Omaha and of course at the time, you know, Gallup was still in Lincoln, which is just an hour away. It's not too far. They since moved to Omaha. But I was working for a bank and we had been acquired and the division I was in was going to go away. So we didn't have a lot to do. They kept us on, you know, we had conversion stuff to do. So they kept us on, but I needed a few things to do. And I found this book laying around called First Break All the Rules. And I thought, well, this is interesting. So I read that book and I took it home. I said, we got to start parenting this way. It's really First Break All the Rules is really the early book on engagement for us, our employee engagement stuff. The second book in that series is called Now Discover Your Strengths. And it was Clifton Strengths, kind of not the first time, but pretty close to first time out in publication. And so I grabbed the book and there was still a code in the back. And so I took the, I took the assessment and I got done. I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is great. I took it home, told my wife, you got to take this. It took me 2 years to get her to take it from that moment on. But I said, you got to take this. And so that was the first really kind of jump into Clifton Strengths. I wouldn't see that again. It was there. I kind of talked about it, but I wouldn't see that again until I came back to Gallup, and that took me another 2 years. So I went and worked another job, and then through some magic, I got the opportunity to apply and was hired as an IT manager for Gallup. And then, of course, once you're in the organization, a lot of people think, oh, you probably don't do everything that you talk about in what you sell as an organization. And I think, yeah, we don't do it all. We just do it all like four times more than everybody else. So it's like inside the organization, we do everything. We talk about everything we sell from a consulting. And then, of course, strengths, you know, last summer during the height of the pandemic, we did a summer of strengths. And so we spent a whole bunch of time helping people get coaching who needed it. Yeah, we coach our own employees. That's pretty great, right? To be able to do that. So that was kind of my journey to strengths. I kind of lucked out that I would come back around to it and go to a company that founded it. And so my first experience was then.
That's neat. That's really a cool story. It took me a couple of years to get my husband to finally do strengths too.
Well, I tell you what, when Sarah took it, my wife, when she took it and she has discipline and belief 1 and 2, I went, oh, this is why we fight. Okay, I get it now. And, you know, I learned a few things, like one, I can kind of trust her implicitly. I have some trust issues with people sometimes. And so I was always kind of questioning, like, well, okay, really, you know, no, her discipline and belief are so strong. What she says is what she means. And she has these super strong core values, and I can just rest in those. I don't ever have to worry about it not being true, right? From that perspective. And so it kind of changed fundamentally we've been married we're coming up on 33 years. And it kind of changed some things for us in our marriage. And so it took a while. I'm glad she took it.
Yes. Yes. My husband's totally on board now too. And the same thing. I highly recommend couples take it. If your children are older, have them. Like, it's such a great relationship activity because it does explain that. Like, oh, okay. Now I get why you need that or why you do that. Or so much.
Well, all my kids took it too. And we have a family spreadsheet that my daughter put together that we can all get to and see. And so I don't know how, parenting with knowing my kids' top five. And again, this isn't something we talk about every night. We talk about it a lot with them, and it gives us a great opportunity. Again, this superimposes framework on top of family relationships. So great opportunity. It's not just a workplace tool. You know, you probably have a lot of leaders like, oh yeah, that's at work. Well, at work and at home, I tell people I learn everything I know about managing from raising 5 children. Like, you know, I was a terrible manager before I had kids. I think having kids made me a better one. Because I learned a lot of lessons. I mean, listen, employees are easy to manage. It's your kids that are hard. Like, that's the challenge. So I think there's some good life lessons there as well. Mm-hmm.
I think my kids would say I was the opposite. Mm. I practiced a lot of management on them and so good methods.
It's hard. Being a parent is hard. I think knowing your kids' strengths and knowing their tendencies, when they're younger, we may not know those themes, but we can start seeing some tendencies in them. I think knowing some of those tendencies and giving them a leg up on success, letting them gravitate towards things that they're naturally good at. I mean, I think, listen, parenting's hard even when everything works right. So if you can put the odds in your favor just a little bit more, 51% is better than 49. So I'll take it if I can get a leg up on that. And I think it helps with parenting.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. So, and I'm keeping myself because I could easily go off in that direction and start talking about parenting and relationships. We're going to bring it back over here to the the leadership, the business, the being a manager, who have been, I know when we talked that activator talk, you mentioned a couple of people who have influenced your life in business as manager and, you know, bringing strengths into that. So who were those people and how did they help you succeed?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I think about some folks that around me, I'll mention three. There's more than this, but if I think about the three that have had the biggest influence on me, I think I go back early on when we were thinking about starting these webcasts. We call them webcasts, they're podcasts, whatever, right? At Gallup, I had this idea. I had been podcasting for a couple years. And when we started in 2012, when we started this new coaching program and started taking strengths to be more scalable through the web, I said, hey, I'd like to do, I think I got this thing called podcasting that we could do that'd be super cool. And Dean Jones, who Dean and I now do, every other month, Dean comes on and spends time learning. He's a phenomenal teacher and one of the best that we have at Gallup. And Dean spent a lot of time coaching me on this and asked a lot of questions, a lot of hard questions, questions I may not have had answers to right away. And I think left to my own quick speed of go, go, you know, fire, and then maybe regret that I didn't do ready, aim type deal, because I never even aim. I just fire, right? Dean kind of forced me to and coached me to think about some things. How is this going to work? How are we going to do this? What will this look like long-term? Some of those kinds of things. So Dean, of course, was a huge influence and still continues to be a gigantic influence on me. And in a very, very positive way. So I'm always appreciative of that. About 6 years ago, six years ago, Micah Librant entered into my world as we had a host for Theme Thursday who passed away, and I needed someone to kind of fill those shoes to finish just a season. We didn't even know they were seasons at the time. We were just trying to get one, all 34 done, right? And Micah jumped in, and when we were done with the season, I said, hey, you want to do another one? Like, and she's like, yeah. And so we spent the next 5 years doing a season a year of Theme Thursday, you know, kind of a deep dive on each one of these themes in a podcast form. Micah would coach me live. If you want to hear live coaching on a lot of our live webcasts in between the recording, we would do a session either before or after or the mid show. And she would just live coach me. And man, I learned a lot about myself through that. So Mike has been a huge influence. And I think then last is Matt Mosser, my current manager at Gallup, who just has this sense of being able to coach and manage and let me do some things and give me the hard advice when I need it. Doesn't do it a lot, but when I do need it, he gives it to me. And it's very valuable, as you know, we have this idea or we have this program called Boss to Coach, and moving people from hardcore managing in a boss role to more of managing in a coaching role. And he does a great job with me of coaching me along in my career, younger than me, but very wise, very savvy in people. He's a good, you know, he's our CHRO. He better be good at the people part of things, right? And so he's been really, really helpful to me in those areas. So I would consider all of them my coaches. We all need some coaches in our lives. We all need people who can tell us the truth. All three of those people, hands down, would tell me the truth in a second and say, or no, what you're doing there is right. Keep going, right? Because we need some of that in our world, in our relationships too.
Mm-hmm. I love that you were able to have those people in your life to help you do that. And we do need them. And coaches or managers that will tell the truth, because sometimes people are so concerned about hurting people's feelings or that you have to do it in a right way. There is a way to do that.
Yeah, there is.
You know, to guide.
Sometimes we just need to have, you know, the courage to say it and know we may break. It may break the relationship. You know, we still have to have the courage to say it. It's hard because you never know. Sometimes these things take years to work out. You never really know. That's the hard part of it. There's no right answer. I think in this current age of thought gurus that are out there, and I think it's actually kind of always been this way. If you do these five things, not really. I don't think it really works that way because people are complicated. And I think there's some good things we can get from them, but then we have to engage our own brain at that point and say, okay, but with this person and who they are, what's right and how is this going to work? And so we have to kind of think it through more than just five principles.
Yeah. Right. And that's where I think the strengths are so valuable, because what works for one isn't going to necessarily work for another, or how you got successful and how you became a leader, how you became a manager may not be. I mean, I made that mistake because I was following in when I was in direct sales. We were following what others did to be successful, and I tried to do what they did, and it didn't work right. because it wasn't in my strength zone. And that's the value I saw. So it's just so valuable in that, when you, whether you're coaching somebody or trying to find your own way of becoming a great manager.
Yeah, and certainly there's principles that we can follow to do those, but kind of understanding the, you know, what is it that, what's about me that's making that part successful? I think it's, you really got to dig into it, and it doesn't work. Even that doesn't work every time. I tell people all the time, you know, we got to do all these things and then sprinkle in a ton of grace and say like, okay, that was supposed to work, but it didn't. Or, man, I didn't think that was going to work at all, and it did. That kind of, those kinds of things happen too. And so I think, it, you know, as we approach this, it's knowing people and then providing a ton of grace around it, because we all got to get along on this planet together to make this thing work. And so I think that's important as well.
Right. It's like parenting, right? It is. A lot of grace in parenting.
Oh my gosh. Yes, for sure.
And then when they grow up, like, oh, okay, I guess that did work. So.
Well, sometimes you need even more after they grow up. You're like, oh, I need even more. I thought this was going to be over. And it's never stopped being a parent.
You're right. Right. So kind of as we start to wrap things up a little bit, the other question I had was, knowing now what you know, just for leadership, management, all of that in general, and also, you know, how your strengths have play a part in how you lead and how you manage and how you work at your best. When you were first managing, maybe at the bank or wherever you want to go back to, what do you wish you would have done differently? Or what would you have done differently, if anything, I should ask?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Because of course we can't go back.
No.
So I'd kind of like, what could I apply? What have I learned that I'd apply today if I needed it? And I do. And, you know, I think that the important part of this is that people matter. And it doesn't, I think sometimes we get too wrapped around the axle of performance or of numbers. And listen, those things are important. Like, you can't run a business like, I'm not going to worry about the numbers. You got to have those kinds of things too. But the way to work is through people. And I think if we can spend time developing what's best in people, and if we can spend time giving them the highest propensity to be successful in what they're doing, I don't know if there's a better way because I'd be tempted to say, well, that works every time. And even that doesn't work every time because life's complicated. But I think it gives us a better chance of success with that. And it gives us a better chance of managing. And it gives us a better chance of leading people. I think if we spend a lot of time leading from the front, in other words, being out there, being the example, doing what we say, right? Being that out there. And also serving those that we lead. That may be the most important element of this, is that realize leaders, that doesn't give us privilege. It just puts us in a position to be able to serve others. I don't know, a lot of leaders don't want to, you know, they've become a leader because they thought that would get them the most pay. In some cases it does, right? It, but you're not there to boss people around, right? You're there to lead people into a journey of engagement and to put them in a situation. Listen, if they're successful, you're successful. If they're not, you're going to have a hard time as a leader. And so I think that's the thing. And that's hard because that's selfless leading. And I can say that to you today, and then tomorrow I can go out and be all it's about me, you know, or I can go into a defensive self-preservation mode. That's the other thing that happens. Like, you know, I'm in a leadership role and something bad happens and I just back out of the way and like, well, that goes downhill, right? You know, as a leader, you got to be in that position that the buck has to kind of stop with you at times and say, you know what, I'm taking responsibility for this because that was my role. So I think if to answer your question that way, I'd say all those answers with it. I wish I could go back and do it better. Well, I can't, but so the next best thing is to how do I do it going forward? I try to take that approach with my community management role, right? How do you manage 11,000 people around the world? Well, I try to make them successful in the best way that I can, right? I try to set them up for success with all the abilities that I have. I can't do everything and I can't change everything and I can't give them everything they want, but I can try. And so I try to fit into that category of really helping other people to be successful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I feel like that really should be the number one in the how to be a good leader. Make your people successful.
be a good human being.
Well, that, yes.
And then two, I think part of being a good human being is just caring about people mm-hmm. enough that mm-hmm. you have their best interest in mind,
right?
Their growth and development. And I'll end it this section for with me on this. Not everybody was designed to be a leader in some way, right? Or maybe to manage people in the corporate setting. I think we all have leadership responsibilities in some way. So just be careful as you're rolling through your career. If that kind of leadership is for you, then do it and do it well. If it's not, don't apologize for it and be a super good individual contributor or team player or whatever, because we need some of those too. Like the workplace can't be everybody's a leader. We need some folks following too, right? And right. there's a place for really good followers, right? And in some cases, leaders can be both. They can be both leaders and really good followers in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We need both mm-hmm. to be successful.
Right, right. And I would even add sometimes the real leaders don't have the title.
Yeah.
But yeah. they play just as important role in leading within the team members and being a good team member yeah. within the organization is very much needed. So everybody just, agreed. If we all show up and do our best, with our best every single day and help others do the same, like that's would just make for happier workplaces everywhere. Yeah.
It's just a challenge because where two or more are gathered, there is conflict. Mm. And so we're always fighting this. Just no matter how much we try or how much we do, it's always going to be here with us. And so the goal is, I said this a little bit earlier, just increase the odds a little bit in our favor so that we can have a few more good days than bad mm. and maybe soften the blow of the bad ones. But we're all in this thing together. We have to do it together. And so we might as well try to make the best of it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else you would add, Jim? I mean, I think that's what the last couple of minutes have been so insightful. So many things to really, like, I want to replay this and listen again and capture it all of what you said. But as we, you know, in the podcast here in this episode, anything else that you would add, anything about your strengths, your personal strengths, anything about strengths and leadership, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, maybe a little different than what you're thinking here, but you podcast to leaders. And let me just say this, there's never been a more difficult time to be a leader. And I think if you're a leader and a manager or you're in an executive position or whatever you're in, you have some responsibility, you have some influence. These times we're in right now, and this is January of 2020 as we're recording this. These are really difficult times. I'm not sure there's ever been a time that I can remember where it's been more difficult to manage than it is today. And so I want to encourage leaders. One, make sure you're taking care of yourself. Like, make sure your well-being is in order of some kind, or that you're striving to do some things again that give you a little more of an advantage. Like if you can, you know, make sure you're getting exercise and sleep, and you're finding out what charges you and refreshes you, and you're getting some rest in there, right? Two, with that, make sure your relationships are healthy. Like this is all we get, and so you know. Make sure those folks that are closest to you and around you, your board of directors, so to speak, those around you that are there to kind of help you in that, really make sure you're getting and giving in those relationships to get them strong. It's going to continue to be challenging times. And I just don't think it's going to get any easier. I don't think we're going to snap our fingers and it's going to get magically easier. I think these times are here to stay. And so we're going to need to shore ourselves up a little bit. So leaders, make sure you're doing everything you can to shore yourself up make sure you understand yourself, you understand how you work and how you operate and how you get recharged and all those kinds of things. Not so that you, not just for you, but so that you can be a better version of yourself for somebody else. Because we need everybody doing that. That creates a chain reaction. When I do that for myself and then I'm better for those that I work with, they have a better day. Then they do that for somebody else. Like, imagine if we could kind of do that. So I guess I would encourage leaders to really take a look inside and say, hey, how am I doing? And am I strong enough that I can be a positive influence on others and lead in a way that others want to follow?
I love that. Lead in a way that others want to follow. Great advice. And taking care of ourselves is so important today. Definitely. Because you're right. This is such a hard time and it's a hard time to be a leader, a manager.
It is. Yeah. We have two really great resources. I haven't spent a lot of time pimping a lot of things, but we have two really good resources. Of course, a book we put out a couple of years ago called It's the Manager. So for managers, if you need a resource, it's not meant to be read cover to cover. It's just got some great advice on the inside of it, right? Some short chapters you can read that'll just give you an opportunity to get kind of rejuvenated. And like we took all the hard things that you have to do and said, hey, here's some ways to think about it. So it's called It's the Manager, right? And then we just released a book last year called Wellbeing at Work, and a great opportunity to just kind of think about. And the good news is the world is thinking about well-being. Like we published a well-being book 10 years ago that nobody bought. It was like, nah, can't talk about that stuff at work. Well, guess what? Everybody's talking about well-being at work right now. Everybody. So I think that'd be a good base book to have in your library just to kind of get that conversation. It's not an exercise book, or it's not a meditation book, or it's not a mindfulness book. There's plenty of those that are out there. But getting some good habits around our well-being at work, it is. And so those would be two great resources, I think, that that folks could use right now.
Absolutely. I love both of the books. And yes, yeah, totally agree. And I do always have the listeners, you know, share a favorite book. So you actually gave us about four books that I love. So I will put all of those in the show notes that I have them all, love them all. Do you have a favorite quote?
I was going to try to prep for this. I don't. I'm more of a quote in the moment. I just believe that, you know, the beyond the shadow of a doubt that as leaders, we have responsibility. We have a responsibility, a higher calling, so to speak, to help influence, guide, and lead people in a way that is in their best interest. And that really lets them be successful. And so if there's whatever quote would support that, I'll buy off on it. You know, I think Don Clifton has a quote that, you know, says, or maybe it was Einstein that said this, one of the two, that said, you know, if you're a fish and you're trying to climb a tree, it's not going to work very well. So spend some time figuring yourself out, right? Spend some time trying to find out what you're best at, and then really point that at people. And I think it's hard not to be successful or fulfilled when you're doing that.
Great advice. And I have a feeling we're going to go back through. I'm going to pick out some Jim Collison quotes from the podcast episode today. So
you had most some of what I said, I probably stole from somebody else. So I don't know if I have an original bone in my body, but I do appreciate you having me on. A privilege to kind of kick off the season for you. And I hope you have some great interviews with it. I hope you get some real nuggets from some leaders who are out there doing some things who, because the reason we do this is to encourage others to do the same. Right. And so I just hope that you get some folks who will do that for you. So good luck as you launch this next season in your podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you for being the first guest on the show for 2022.
Great to be here.
Thanks. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections, or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM Or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.